Good evening. Welcome, welcome. This is Ian's Place. My name is Ian, and this is my place. And my guests are, my listeners are my guests, so I welcome you to call in, and we'll talk about anything you want to talk about. So let me give you the phone numbers. U.S. and Canada, toll-free, 1-888-228-4494. Worldwide is 1-877-489-6350. And direct is 530-776-5154. And if you have trouble ever finding the radio station, just go to my website. It's www.wakeupitstimetoremember.com. I can hear yours over here. I'm sorry, I was talking to somebody behind me. It's www.wakeupitstimetoremember.com. And tonight, what we're going to be discussing is living inside the box. And we're going to see, you know, if you're not living the life that you've been dreaming about for many, many years or want to change your life or whatever, then we have to decide what's going on within you, and then we can determine what needs to be tweaked, and then you can see how your tweaking's working for you. And if it needs another adjustment, we can adjust it later on. So I, again, welcome you to call in, and we'll talk about that. But many of us, we feel that there's something missing within us, and we're always looking for it. We'll read many, many books. We'll light candles. We'll do runes. We'll do psychics. We do healings. We do mantras. There's so many things that we do because of this thing within us that we feel is empty. There's something missing. And so we go outside of ourselves to fix what's on the inside, that emptiness. To fix the inside, that empty feeling, you've got to start inside of you. You can't go outside to fix what's inside. And once you figure out what's missing, usually love, usually knowing who and what you are, usually knowing how powerful you are. Once you find that, that emptiness is gone. It's just gone. And you can go about your life feeling full, number one. And when you feel full, there's nothing to look for. You don't have to eat anymore. You're full. It's just like when you sit down at a table and you eat. You don't gorge yourself. You don't become overstuffed. You eat and then you say, I'm full. There's nothing more that I need right now. And that's how you can do that with that empty feeling with inside of you. The same feeling of eating a nice dinner and saying, I'm full. And when you find that thing that's going to replace the emptiness within you, that's going to, you're going to switch it out. You're not going to feel empty. You're going to feel full. You're going to feel complete. You won't have to go looking anymore because you found it. And once you found it, the peace that overcomes you, you're going to say, what took me so long? It was so simple. That I now feel full. And you'll never have to go back, ever. You will go the rest of your life feeling full and content. What happens when you eat a big meal and you're full? You become content. You feel safe. You feel secure. And when you feel safe and secure and loved and contented, there's no anger. You can't be content and have anger. You can't feel totally put together and have anger. You can't do it. It's like oil and water. You just can't mix them. So, what does it take to find that elusive it? That it that we're all looking for. What does it take to find it? Well, we've got to look closely at ourselves. We have to change our minds. So when you've got to listen to words, the first question that we have to ask ourselves is, what is your mindset? What's your mindset? Listen to the words. Because everyone has a mindset. What have you set your mind to believe? What have you set your mind into accepting? So the mindset is what? What is that? Well, it's thinking a thought and then agreeing with that thought and then giving value to that thought, and you're going, this is my mindset. This is what I have chosen in my reality, my physical reality, to accept. I have set my mind. So now you're thinking and acting towards a mindset. Mind setting, when you've set your mind, that sends a signal to your body and to your physical reality of what you are going to experience. You have used your will, your free will, to set your mind, and now the body goes, oh, okay, fine. That's what we're going to experience this next time. Let's do it. Doesn't judge. Body doesn't judge you. Like God does not judge you. It just says, oh, the signal has come. This is what we're experiencing. Okay. And that's what you're going to, your body will take you there. Your physical reality is going to open in front of you. It's like this warped time frame in front of you. You know, you see them in the sci-fi films where they go into this warped space in front of them. They walk into it. Well, that's what you're going to do, but you just can't see the warping. But you're going to. Your body's going to perk up and say, ah, we have a mindset this morning. Let's go do it. Many people have a mindset that they have to stay in a dead-end job. They hate their job. They want to get out of their job, but they'll never do that because they have a mindset that says, I have to stay into this job even though I hate it because I've got bills to pay, I've got a family to raise, I've got all this pressure on me, and if I even think about quitting my job and finding the thing that I love, I can't do it. And so, therefore, your mindset has told your body, has told your physical reality, he can't do it, so we're going to go to the job every day. What he doesn't know is that he can have a different, he can change his mind, listen to the words, he can change his mind. We have that capability. And once that mind is changed to another mindset, and you put the emotion behind it. Emotion is the driver. It's the pusher. It's the thing that grabs the thought and your mindset and creates it into your reality. It's the engine. And even though he's still going to the job every day, something's going to come down the pike that says, it's going to change his whole physical reality because once he just is passionate about it, and he doesn't leave that passion, it's going to happen. But again, what happens is most people say, well, it's been 6 weeks, and it hasn't happened, and I really needed it to happen in this time frame. They just erased what was being set up, and you got to start from square one again. So you have to allow your dreams to become on their own. You have to let the process open up itself because you think in limitation. We all do. We all think in limited thinking. unless you learn how to think unlimited. And in unlimited, there's no limitations in unlimited thinking. Well, I'm open-minded, but here comes the buts. So changing your mind and creating a new mindset dictates again where the body's going to go and then to what scenario is going to open up in front of us and what our body and our personality self is going to experience. Doesn't it seem logical that our body and our personality self only experience what our thoughts have created in front of the thinking process? And our personality self is us without a body. If you just got rid of your body right now, just gone, what you have left is you, your personality self. And that personality self has been taught not to think in unlimited terms. I want to give you the phone numbers again. It is the U.S. and Canada. It's 1-888-228-4494. Worldwide, it's 1-877-489-6350. And the direct line is 530-776-5154. So call in. So let's go back to the mind setting. And once we have, people, you've heard, my mind is set. I'm not changing my mind. And they won't, and they'll experience what they're not changing their mind about. So all our body does, all our personality does, is experience our thoughts and our mindsets. But then we get a lot of us that go, we just cry. We stress. Why, oh, why isn't my life like I want it? It's a good question. Why isn't it? Well, there's an answer. There's two small but powerful words that social consciousness has declared normal. Social consciousness is what we have all as a collective declared as a mindset, what is quote-unquote normal. And in this normal way of being, which you got to ask that, what is normal? We have 6 billion of us on this earth right now. 6 billion. And each one of us was born with different tastes, different likes, different dislikes, different thoughts, different visions. So what's normal? But we have managed, social consciousness has managed to make a norm. And we need to live in that norm. So when people say, why, oh, why isn't my life like I want it? The answer is, it is. We always do what we want to do. Always. There's no exception. We do what we want to do. If we didn't, we'd be doing something else. If we didn't do what we wanted to do, we would be doing something else. If we didn't want to go to that dead-end job day in and day out, we would figure out a way to do something else. And many people do. They just finally get enough and they go, I can't do it one more day. If I go in there one more day, I'm going to die on the spot. And so they figure out that they can make changes. They can change their mind. So, most people, though, when they cry and want to, they're miserable and they want to change but don't, the reason they don't is there's two small but very powerful words that social consciousness has declared normal. And those two little words are doubt and fear. Two words that we have been trained to listen to and to react to. And usually it's not the way that we want to change to. It's what we, they keep us where we are. doubt and fear overrides other wishes, dreams, wants, desires, aspirations, yearnings, goals, objectives, ambitions, purposes, and intentions. Let's count that. Two words, doubt and fear, override dreams, wants, desires, aspirations, yearnings, goals, objectives, ambitions, purposes, and intentions. Two words override 10 words. That's how powerful they are. So why does doubt and fear override all the other words? It's because you put more emphasis on doubt and fear. Case in point is the people that continually do the same thing over and over and over again. They don't change jobs. It's because they don't believe in themselves. They don't even know how powerful they are because they won't take it out for a spin. How sad is that? So if people stay in a job that they hate because they don't believe in themselves, why would anyone else hire them for a job that they would love? Because the bottom line is, if you don't believe in yourself, why should they? If you don't love yourself enough, why should someone else? There's actually an irony here. Because basically, if you do believe in yourself and you're staying in a job that you hate, you believe in yourself enough to stay put. Isn't that amazing? Again, we only do what we like to do. Otherwise, we'd be doing something else. So you do believe in yourself enough to stay in that dead-end job. And I use the example of the dead-end job, and it goes to your life. It goes out. I just use that as an example. But there's many, many ways that we all do things we don't want to do. And we keep doing them over and over, day in and day out. Because we don't know we can change the picture. And we are the ones, the only ones, who can change that picture. We're the ones that dictate to us how we're going to live, what we like to eat, what colors we like to see, what movies we like to watch, whatever. We are the ones that make the decisions. And even if someone else, who we may be in, we might be the victim of a controlling relationship, and they say to the victim, the controller, you are only going to do this. And you relent and only do that. You have agreed. It was your decision to do what they said. Or you could stand up and say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. This is my life. God gave it to me, and I'm going to run it my way without any guilt. There's a lot of people out there who I call out-of-the-box thinkers. That would be Yeshua ben Joseph, Jesus, son of Joseph, Thomas Edison, Louis Pasteur, Henry Ford, Einstein, Abraham Lincoln, to name a few. And each one of these out-of-the-box thinkers were ridiculed by the social consciousness, laughed at, and said, behind their back, of course, what are they thinking? But here's what they knew. Each one of them absolutely knew that the ideas that popped into their heads the ideas that popped into their heads, no matter how wild, no matter how far out of the social consciousness thinking, the idea is good for them, and they went for it, regardless of what anybody else said. What do you think if Edison would have thought of the light bulb and then said to himself, no, it won't work. Who would ever use it anyway? I mean, what would have happened? Eventually somebody would have thought about it. Because all the potentials are out there. It's called a river of thought. And a lot of open-minded people will get the same thought process at the same time somebody else picks it up. Case in point was that Ford. Henry Ford started building a car in the U.S., and at the same time, unbeknownst to each other, a Frenchman started working on the car at the same time. They didn't know about each other, but they picked up the thought process in the ethers at the same time. And then down the road, they go, oh, I built one of those. And the guy goes, well, I built one of those too. Because they were open to the thought. So if Edison would have thought of the light bulb and then said, no, won't work. Who would ever use it anyway? But instead, he said to himself, interesting thought that I just thought of. I'm going to check this out. Another unique thing about out-of-the-box thinkers, they never give up because they absolutely know what they are thinking happens. It's the same with spiritual people. They search and search and search for the answer because they know. They absolutely know that the answer's out there. They just haven't found it yet. So when we absolutely know something and we set out on a journey to find it, we'll never give up. I mean, there's been people on their spiritual journey for, 40 years and still haven't found it, but they're not going to give up. They're not going to give up because they know the answer's out there somewhere. They just haven't found it. And then the same with Edison. On the thousandth try, Edison finally successfully lit his light bulb. 1,000th try. He didn't give up. And then he exclaimed, I now know 999 ways not to make a light bulb. Can you imagine if he gave up on the 998th? He said, I just had enough. It's not going to work. And so what? His words would have stopped the 999th try, and it would have stopped the 1,000th try. You never know how close you are. You never know how close you are to your dream because you stop it with your words and your thinking and your actions. So simple. Jesus, Yeshua, knew he could walk on water, turn water into wine, and calm the seas. Knew it. Do you think if Yeshua ever said, I can't walk on water, or I can't calm the seas, or I can't turn water into wine, he would have been able to? No. Because his physical reality followed his thinking and his speaking and his acting towards his commands. He would have never been able to achieve those miracles. And he told us, whatever I can do, you can do. And even greater. He says, doubt, he said, do not doubt and do not fear. He says that over and over again in the New Testament. What does that mean? I mean, is he just talking about pretty words here? Have they just wrote those words down just to have words to print on a piece of paper? Or did they mean something? Don't doubt, don't fear. Peter, when he sank into the water, when did you doubt? See, you can't have it both ways. You cannot say, I am the master of my universe, and then act like a victim. Because when you act like the victim, it overrides your words that I am master. And I just love spiritual people because they talk big. They talk in limitation. They talk in frugality. They talk in lack. When, show me one person out there. Show me Deepak. Show me the guy that wrote Conversations, Neil Donald Walsh. Show me so many, I can't think right now. But I guarantee you there's no words in their vocabulary of can't, won't, and shouldn't. They all have learned those words do not support them in where they're going to, what they're going to achieve and what their physical reality is going to look like that's going to mesh with other people's physical reality. And I will bet you $1 million they don't hang out with victims. They don't. They only surround themselves with thoughts that match theirs. That's the people that they hang out with. They're not going to hang out with a bunch of people that use can't, wouldn't, shouldn't. Oh, no, no way. I got to save a dime on a piece of bread. In order for you to be the master of your universe, you have to act like a master. And you just might have to fake it until you actually make it. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to start somewhere. You can't sit and talk about this. You have to live it. And the more you step outside of social consciousness, the more you get away from that type of thinking, that you have to stay in the box, you have to act this way, you have to think this way, and God doesn't love you. Well, I love this one. God loves you unconditionally. But then he sets up 5,000 conditions. You can't have it both ways. You can't have love, unconditional love, with a lot of conditions. You can't say, I believe in the Bible and I have all the faith in the world, and then have a but at the end of the sentence. You cannot be a little bit pregnant with faith. It's either you have it or you don't. It's either you absolutely know something or you don't. Which side of the fence are you going to land on? And until you hop off the fence on one side or the other, if you're going to play victim, do it. There's nothing wrong. And when you get tired of playing it, when you get tired of playing martyr, when you get tired of playing victim, when you get tired of complaining all the time, because your life isn't the way you want to live it, you're going to do something about it. You're going to figure out how to change your mindset. You are going to change your mind. But you'll never do that until you get so tired of it, you can't take it one more day. Isn't it amazing when people, they get into a jackpot? They get into a situation where they basically have to walk on water for their life to go on forward, and they lament and they cry and they, please God, please, please, please let this happen. And at the last moment, right before the everything's going to fall apart world, seconds before that thing that they need to happen will happen, and their life is saved for a moment or two till the next one. Why is it always comes in at the last minute? Why do you have to lament and cry and scream and yell and cry and please God, I'm on my knees, I'll give up, you know, my pinky finger, I won't eat bread or have chocolate for the next 25 years. Why do you think you need to cut all these deals? Because you've gotten a habit of cutting deals, and they always turn out at the last second. Why? Why do they always fix themselves at the last second? Because you are so focused on making it happen that you've made it happen with your lamenting and crying. And you think that's what you have to do to get your life back on the track. But what you've done is just set up another scenario, because you're going to keep doing this over and over again. I don't have to tell you, there's many of you out there that different day, same garbage. There's a way to get everything you want in a peaceful way. There's a way for you to stay calm, cool, and collected and get everything that you desire. You can have that peaceful life that you've always wanted. Here's the secret. You got to be peaceful to get peace. You have to know what you're going to get in order to get it. You can't say, I'm not going to get it, I'm not going to get it, I'm not going to get it, and then get it. You can, but this is what you're doing. God, please hurry up. You don't have to go through all of that stuff. You don't have to cut deals. You don't have to not eat chocolate for the next 25 years. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to do Hail Marys. You don't have to do any of that. All you have to know is this: there's this thing within each of us. The same thing that is in Yeshua ben Joseph is in with you. The same thing that is in Deepak Chopra is in you. The same thing that Neil Donald Walsh was is in him, and he finally got it out, is in with every one of us. Every one of us. We have the same talent within each and every one of us. All you got to do, number one, is recognize that it's there. And number two, start talking to it. Number three, start using it. It's there for you to use at will with free will. I'm going to give out my phone numbers again, and maybe I'll get a call. I love talking to you guys. U.S. and Canada, 1-888-228-4494. Worldwide is 1-877-489-6350. Direct is 530-776-5154. If you ever have trouble finding the BBS radio, you can go to my website at www.wakeupitstimetoremember.com, and you can get the link from there. So, Jesus knew he could walk on water, turn water into wine, and calm the seas. He knew it. He went out in the desert for 40 days just to be able to prove it to himself. He had to get away from social consciousness, to get away from everybody else's chatter, so he can focus on himself and his own thinking. He went inside. He went inside. He didn't go seek out a seer. He didn't take ruins with him. He didn't take he didn't go look at the astrology charts. He went in. And he tapped into the power that he already knew he had. He'd been trained for that. He had heard it and heard it and was trained in it and heard it, but he couldn't apply it. He knew it was there, and he knew he had that opportunity within him. But it took him 40 days out in the middle of the desert to figure it out, because he had to get away from everybody. There's this example that I give when I talk to people about when people are angry. And I set them in a meeting, and everybody's, you know, there's 20 people in their board meeting screaming and yelling at each other, and everybody's mad, and you, whoever you are out there, you're just as mad as everybody else. So, you have this opportunity within a twinkling of an eye to take yourself out of that boardroom and put yourself up in the mountain somewhere, and you're sitting by this babbling brook. And you can see the trout in there, and they're gleaming with their little trout colors. And you were just in this boardroom 3 seconds ago. And you've transported yourself to the mountain. And just sitting by the creek, you start calming down. Who calmed you down? You did. You changed your mind from that board meeting into front of the creek, and you calmed yourself down. Nobody else did it for you. And you sit there, and you reflect, and you think about these other 19 idiots screaming in the boardroom, and you've now come to the conclusion why. Why are they screaming? I am totally at peace here. I'm watching the water. And I've worked myself through this, through thinking. I have thought myself into being calm and peaceful. In moments, you did that. You're the one that figured it out. So, a few seconds later, now that you've chosen to be calm, you put yourself back into that meeting, and you take the peace of the mountain with you back into that meeting. And now you can look around and say, why are these people yelling? Don't they know we can solve this problem just talking to each other in a peaceful way? Don't they know that? Obviously they don't, because they aren't. But you changed your mind in seconds. In a second, you changed your mind from anger to peace. And you did it all by yourself. Because you could have, if you have chosen to, when you transported yourself out into the front of the creek, you could have stayed angry. You didn't have to be calm. But you made the choice to go and be a peaceful calm. You made that choice. And then you made the choice going back into the meeting to be peaceful also. So social consciousness has defined how life should be and how it should look. And if anybody thinks outside of the box, they make fun of them, they snicker at them, and they say how funny they are and how weird they are, and they must be a geek to think outside of this. Why would anyone want to be in that type of social consciousness that makes fun of people, that gets irate at people? Why would you, why do we do that to each other, number one? What is it that we get when we sit at the wall, stand around in a crowd at the water cooler and make fun of someone? What do we get? And there's something that we get a reward for doing that, or else we wouldn't do it. And the reward is that making fun of someone else, putting someone else down makes us feel more powerful. It's the only reason we do it. The only reason. And isn't that sad that we have to make fun of somebody or put somebody else down so we'll feel better about ourselves? We feel smarter, we feel more powerful, and we do it as a collective. Just join any corporation. It runs rampant. That's not a corporation. That's a hellhole. How sad is it for that person who's being talked about? They're just going through life like everybody else, trying to make life as the best that they know how. Not what we know how, but they know how. And you don't know what you don't know. And until we, as a collective, start lifting up those that are least amongst us, we have a society that's failed. I belong to a chat room, and I think I've spoken about this before. Now, these are words on a screen. We don't even know each other in the physical. Some do, but most of us don't. And words on a screen can set off an anger discussion that you have never seen before. I mean, I'm in awe how these people tear at each other and tear each other down because they have another point of view. And these are the same people that will say, we want peace on earth. And they can't even create peace in a chat room. I'm not putting you guys down. It's a fact. I'm not gossiping. I'm not putting you down. It's a fact that you guys tear each other apart. Why? Because somebody has a different view? Is that any reason to tear somebody else down? I don't get it. I will share with you, I got it one time in my life because I thought it was really cool to call people flakes and assholes and you name it. At one point I did. I shared that conscious thinking in one point in my life. But I would like to say I saw the light. And I want to help people. I want to lift them up to their fullest potential. Actually, I can't lift them up. They have to do it themselves. But I can only share what I have learned over the last few years of how when we lift each other up, people get along. And when people get along, there's peace. And for people to get along, they have to accept the other person for who they are. And when you accept people for who they are, they love you for it. I can guarantee you, everybody's best friends, you could hit your best friend across the chin and knock them to the ground, and they would get up and go, my God, are you having a bad day? Are you okay? Because they love you for who you are. Now, I don't advocate hitting, but I'm just trying to make a point here. The point is that when we love each other and we get along, then that is when peace starts. You can't go around screaming at each other and then want world peace. What's his name? I can't think of the guy from India. Can't think of his name. But anyway, I know his quote. Gandhi, thank you. Gandhi has the best quote ever. We must be the changes that we want to see. We must be peaceful if we want to see peace. We must stop dictating to other people how they should live their life when we want to be free. We don't want people going around telling us what to do. No one wants that. No one wants to be told what to do. No one. And the biggest offender offenders are the control freaks. No one can tell a control freak what to do, but yet, and because they don't like it, but yet they'll go around telling everybody else what to do. Doesn't make sense. If they don't like it, why would they think anybody else likes it? And who are you insulting when you tell somebody else how to run their life your way? Doesn't make sense anymore, not in this day and age. So if you want a peaceful world, we've got to be peaceful to each other. That's the start. That's a beginning. And when you're peaceful to your fellow man, then that opens the door to so many other things that aren't being done right now. We can't achieve them because we're knocking the hell out of each other. How can you achieve anything of greatness when you're beating up on each other? How does that happen? It doesn't. Scientists don't beat up on each other. They share their knowledge. They get excited about each other's views of, oh, wow, this is what I found today. And he shows it to 10 other scientists, and they're going, whoa, I never thought about that before. That's a great thought. And then they share it with other scientists. The guys that meet up, the astronauts that meet up in the space, they don't knock the shit out of each other. They embrace each other's accomplishments. Do you think they'd ever go to war? Do you think a scientist, do you think an astronaut would ever pick up a rifle? No. They leave that to the others. If they want to go play that game, go. You know, go shoot the hell out of each other. Go. Don't drag me into that. I'm going to play over here with my fellow scientists. We're learning really cool things together. It all depends on what game you want to play here on Earth. We have played the war game forever. You would think we would get tired of it. Obviously, we haven't yet. But I have an idea. What we need to do is for all the mothers, all the wives, they grab their husband's ears, they grab their son's ears, and they pull them in to the house, and they say, you cannot go play with your guns anymore. Stop. Stop killing my child. And to make sure this happens, no more sex. Women of the world, unite. No sex until the guys stop warring, because it's the guys that start it. Women rarely start war. They just pick up the pieces. So I declare that we should have no sex until all the wars have stopped. I'm just wondering how long that would take. But it's an idea. So we have all these people, Deepak Chopra, Neil Donald Walsh, Maya Angelou, Oprah. Do you think those guys would pick up a gun and shoot somebody? Do you think they yell and argue behind the scenes? I don't think so. I read one time that Maya Angelou was having a party at their house and somebody did an off-color joke. And she went over to this person and said, I want you and your friends to leave and take your garbage with you. She doesn't have it in her house. I don't blame her. Because they were making a joke that included other people. And she's got a great saying, too. I love what she says. Once you start teasing someone or battering somebody, you just kind of nick their soul away a little piece at a time. I believe that. I like that when I heard her say that. You do. And what I don't get the most of all is people that love each other and are married to each other and they're devoted to each other and they said to death do us part to each other. And then they nick and pick at each other and they tear each other down. They can't even talk to each other without tearing the other person down. But this is the person I love. They will declare that. This is the person I have loved and decided to remain for the rest of my life with, because I love them so much. And in the next sentence, they will put them down. They will make some snide remark to them. They will call them stupid. And you don't know anything. Go figure. I don't know. Go figure on that one. So, this is about changing your mind, if that's what you choose to do. This is about climbing out of your box, if that is what you choose to do. It's your choice. You can stay in this world of yours that's driving you crazy, or you can go to the world that you dream about every day. You have to practice that. You have to practice peace and love. And one of those practices is stop putting everybody else down. Because you can't say I'm peaceful and loving and put somebody else down. Don't match. Not a match here. When you say I love you, but, you jerk, not a match. Not a match. I want to be peaceful one day. I want to love and just la-di-da and airy-fairy and then turn around and slam somebody because they think differently than you. Not a match. You want your thinking, speaking, and actions to match. That's in alignment. If you want a loving, peaceful existence, you need to think loving, peaceful existence and then act towards it. You have to act. Or maybe pretend for a while that you are a loving, peaceful person. And then be it. What a concept. Actually be those words. If you choose not to, there's nothing wrong with that. You're just experiencing hatred and putting people down. And when you get tired of it, one day you'll stop, hopefully, and join the rest of the crowd that really want a very peaceful, loving world. And none of us can achieve that because we all need to do it as a collective. Just as we have determined as a collective that doubt and fear is the norm and hatred is the norm. We may want to change our minds and switch it to love and peace, and support is the norm. No matter what you are, who you are, or how you think, I support you. With that, I think my time is up. Didn't get any phone calls. Gosh, I wish you would call in. You don't know how much I love that. Anyway, we'll see you next week. Bye.
You're listening.